And on this Valentine's Day, time once again to give you the opportunity to ask an auto mechanic your question, whatever that may be. Maybe you're having problems with your car, your truck, your van, and you need to bring it in for service, but you want to know kind of ahead of the game what could be wrong with it, what you could be facing. Well, this is your chance to do that very thing, to get Nick Stoffel, ASC Certified Technician at Lloyd's Automotive, a chance to kind of analyze that vehicle of yours over the radio. You can call it in, your question, or you can text it in. Maybe there's a question you've always wanted to ask a mechanic. We'll do that, too. 651-461-9226 will get you either a phone call or a text to Nick Stoffel. Nick, good morning to you. Happy Valentine's Day to you and your bride.
Thank you, and good morning to you also. As you know, we for our anniversary, which was the 12th, we snuck down to Key West for a long weekend, and I know the weather there is nice and warm, but I'll take this. This is a good break from winter.
Absolutely. Key West, I haven't been there. That's would you recommend it? I have a friend of mine who has a place in Florida who goes down there all the time, but kind of a neat place.
Yeah, we've really enjoyed ourselves. You know, there's the popular hot spots, but we've kind of got off the beaten path. We took a little bit of a boat ride and went onto some sandbars yesterday and kind of really relaxed and probably got a little too much sun, but I'll survive. It's great. We're having a great time.
Well, that's good. Happy anniversary, too. All right, Nick, we'll put you to work here. We've got texters calling in already. Just a reminder to our listeners, we always like to say, pose your question earlier, sooner rather than later, because our time goes by so quickly. Nick will take his leave about 7:45. So as I said, it goes by so quickly. So don't wait. Love to hear from you either by phone or by text. Again, 651-461-9226. The other day, with all this melting going on, I literally ran into a couple of potholes. And I know every season this time of year or the spring, we talk about that. But outside of tire damage, and I want you to address that too, if you would, please, what else can happen if we hit the wrong pothole? What can happen to our vehicles?
Well, you keep in mind, too, with all the melting and refreezing, that's how that water gets into the pavement. It freezes, expands, cracks, and starts that process of creating that pothole. Also, remember, when you're driving down the road and you see a puddle, you don't know how deep that is. So try to avoid those. Obviously, don't go into oncoming traffic, but try to slow down, maneuver around to avoid those. Because you mentioned tires, it can cause a blowout. It can crack the wheel or bend the wheel, which is costly. Or even worse, some of the steering suspension components from that huge jarring action can become damaged or out of alignment, which just makes that much more work for you.
Have you seen that a lot in your career, damage from potholes? I imagine you have.
Well, we joke about pothole season, which we all kind of under our, you know, it's more frustrating than anything. You know, we want to stay busy. We want to have good business, but we don't want to have people have damage that can be avoided kind of, you know. So if you, once again, if you're driving along, don't, you know, if you know there's a certain stretch of road that's common to have those potholes, slow down. Pay attention, try to avoid them the best you can. Save yourself hundreds, if not thousands of dollars in damages. Yeah. So it's well worth the to take a moment and try to avoid that.
Well, like you said a minute ago, you'd be looking at a puddle. You never know how deep that thing is. So try to avoid it without, you know, running into another car. So again, call us, text us with any kind of a car question. Here's one that came in via text today. Happy Valentine's Day. Thank you. The 2-year-old battery on my 2019 Nissan Altima abruptly died yesterday. AAA came out, said it was a defective battery. There was no prior warnings of a pending failure. Are there any other causes for this, such as an alternator problem? Should the car be taken in for a mechanical check?
Well, I think it's fair to say, you know, it's good to ask questions. You know, why did it just fail? It's only 2 years old. There are defective parts. There's you know, that can happen. But I do think it's fair to say I would probably have an electrical systems test done. Check the charging system, including the alternator. Check for any kind of drain from the system when the car is off. When you shut your vehicle off, after a few minutes, when all the internals and electronics shut down, there should be very minimal drain on that battery. If it is excessive, you slowly deplete that battery. Obviously, when you start the vehicle, the alternator charges it, but the battery's not designed to be completely, or not completely, but drawn down that far and recharged. That cycling can cause a problem. So I think it's fair to say I would probably, you know, if you're not noticing anything else, have someone do a draw test. Make sure there's not something going on that you're not aware of.
All right. Very good. Here's a question we get, especially over the last couple of years, as manufacturers go from gas to hybrid to electric. A listener wants to know, electric vehicles, does Lloyd's Automotive work on them?
We do. You know, the full EV vehicles is quite similar to a hybrid vehicle. A lot of the electronics and the pumps and the motors are similar. We haven't had to replace one of those. We've replaced the hybrid batteries, but we haven't done a full EV battery yet. You know, they're still too new. I imagine when they get into that 10, 15-year age range, we might start seeing some of that. But yeah, there's still suspension, there's still brakes, there's still steering, there's still cooling systems. There's a lot of similar systems, a lot of sensors. So we do service them, but you know, for the most part, they're not super common, and there's just, you know, not that much out there for us to have to see too many yet.
You know, we talk about you and your technicians. Well, I want to ask you about you yourself being the boss. Have to go through testing every so often. And over the years, suddenly there's electric cars or hybrid cars. Is that, I assume that's all addressed in these tests as well, right?
They have. The testing have evolved with cars, you know, going from carburetors to fuel injection, electronic ignition, hybrids, EV. So as technology changes in the vehicles, the testing and the training that we take evolves with that. So we do our best to keep up on what's out there, what's coming along. And as you know, as they come into the doors and we fix them, that's where we learn the most and the best. But, you know, it's out there, and we do what we can to keep on top of it.
Now, you being, as I said, the boss, do you still kind of keep up on everything? I mean, you still make it a point to keep your level of master technician up there?
I'm due, and my good friend Sarge is on me about taking the test. I'm like, oh. Yeah, if you don't know me very well, I don't like to sit stationary very long. So putting me in a room and taking a test for a few hours is about the worst thing in the world for me. But I should do it, lead by example, and make sure I still got it, right? You know, I get to take them every 5 years, and I'm due. So I hopefully haven't forgotten more than I've learned.
That was my next question, is how often? So every 5 years or so. All right. If you have any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you at 651-461-9226. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive answering again those very questions. Here's one interesting question about tires. It just says it's a 10-year-old SUV, and it's got the original tires. And basically the question is, they seem fine, but some tires that are 10 years old with 27,000 miles on the vehicle, can they still be bad, I guess, is the question.
Yeah, we always assume that tires are good until they wear out. In most cases, that's true because we drive enough miles to wear those tires out in the time frame. The situation, which there are some cars out there that are not driven much, we've got more years and miles, we inspect the tires. You know, if that tire compound starts to dry out, it'll start to see some cracking in there. If the cracking's deep enough, it could create a failure. So if we see anything like that, we're going to say, hey, based on the age of the tires, there's tread, but there's some what we call dry rotting and the cracking in the tire. So we want to replace those before we have a failure and you end up with a flat tire.
It's kind of like running shoes or tennis shoes, right? I mean, those things over the years get almost brittle, don't they?
Yeah, you know, the compound and, you know, only 27,000 miles in 10 years, but it's still out in the heat. If it gets out into the snow and the salt, you know, there's still those things out there causing not just the wear, but the breakdown of the component or the product.
Can a mechanic, you know, obviously we've talked about tread depth, but can your technicians look at a tire, and even though the tread might be fine, can you see these other defects?
Oh, absolutely. You know, anytime we service a vehicle, we check steering, suspension, tires are one of the things that we look at. And they do check the tread depth, which is, like I said, the obvious answer. But they do say, oh, you know, this tire is discolored, or they'll say there's some cracking in there, and there's a date code when that tire was manufactured. It'll be the week in the year, and then the last 2 years that it was made. So you'll know if it's the 40th week of 2012 or whatever it is.
Oh, okay.
And you can determine, okay, this tire is 10 years old. What are the other three like? You know, maybe they didn't replace that one, they replaced the other two. And so you do a little assessing, a quick visual inspection, and, you know, give people advice. You know, they might not be aware of it. Share with them what you see, and they can make the best decision.
All right. Nick, hang on. We'll take a quick break. Invite our listeners again to join in. We were getting more text messages. Any kind of a car care question, if you want to phone it in and chat with Nick, great. Otherwise, if you want to send a text, that's good too. 651-461-9226. On Valentine's Day, from News Talk 830, this is WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC Certified Technician from Lloyd's Automotive, Nick Stoffel, answering any kind of a car care question that may be on your mind today. Call it in, text it in, 651-461-9226. Let's see, here's a good question. Good morning, Denny and Nick. Is there a big difference between OEM parts and non-OEM parts? What do you recommend? Tell our listeners what's that mean, OEM?
The original equipment manufacturer. And keep in mind, the car makers assemble vehicles. They don't really make any of the parts. They have other vendors that they source those components and parts from. A lot of those vendors also make parts for the aftermarket. So depending on the component, the system, the vehicle, sometimes we definitely want to use the original equipment. That being said, there are a lot of examples where the aftermarket is as good, if not better, that we see a high fail point or even price point. You know, if you're looking for a certain maintenance item, you know, whether it's, you know, I don't want to go down the whole list, but if it's spark plugs or brakes or a water pump, we do the research. We've learned over the years what companies and manufacturers are confident in. We price them, we price the original equipment, and try to make the best value for our customers.
All right. Listener wants to know, is there a time frame when to change a cabin filter? Actually, it's a two-part question. And he or she wants to know, can they also be vacuumed?
There's a maintenance schedule. We will inspect them when we do service if they're easily accessible. Sometimes they are easy, sometimes a little more involved in removing them. And you know, vacuuming or shaking them out, it gets a lot of the loose stuff, but I do believe the stuff that gets caught up in the pleating material, it's kind of like your furnace filter at home. You're not going to shake it out or vacuum it out. You know, when they're dirty, they're kind of used up. You know, I'm sure you'll get a lot of the stuff out, but you're not going to get all of it. So I would say it's probably most likely the best plan is just to replace it. You know, it's every year, every 2 years, depending on where you drive, how you drive. You know, you're on a dirt road or a lot of cottonwood trees in your neighborhood. There's a lot of different scenarios that will affect the length and the routine of how often you replace it.
You know, we talk, Nick, you and I, about the quality of differences in oil filters. And we've had questions before, you know, does it make a difference? Are there differences in it? Do you get, you know, what you pay for? We always say yes. There's definitely quality differences. What about cabin filters? There's so many on the market. I've used both. I've used quote, OEM and aftermarket. What about cabin filters?
It's similar with most parts. If there's a need, someone's going to make an alternative. And I would say usually with like the cabin filters, it's a lot about fitment. A lot of times in aftermarket, or, you know, they try to find two or three, make them into one part number, so it mostly fits. It, you know, it's maybe not quite the right size.
Yeah,
so
right.
I would say, you know, those situations, we always try to put back the way it was designed. You know, so we get the appropriate number or the appropriate part. Like you said, oil filters, same thing. You know, the quality might be a dollar or two more for the better filter, but your engine greatly appreciates that, along with the quality oil. You don't want, you know, this. It's funny how we get kind of hung up on trying to, you know, pricing out an oil change, trying to save value. And money's expensive. People need to value their money, but your engine deserves to have good quality oil and a good quality filter. Help that thing running and maintain as long as you can keep it on the road.
Speaking of oil, there's a text that came in a couple of minutes ago about oil that the manufacturer says, and again, it's marketing. You know, you don't have to change for 10 or 20,000 miles on some of these makers, texter says, on some of these oils. Doesn't mention a manufacturer, but you've seen them. Comment about the 10,000 and the 20,000 mark.
You know, I do believe, I'm not a chemist, I do believe that they've proven that the oil can do what it needs to for that length of time. But I always wonder about the dirt, the carbon, the things that create sludge, because to be honest, some of the biggest things that we see now are mechanical repairs related to oil-related issues.
camshafts sludging up. Turbos have with the lighter weight oils, the ports that the oil needs to flow through are very small. And if that starts to get gummed up, oil's not flowing where it should or how it should, and can create more problems. So I don't want to say it's not true that oil might not last that long. But I will say what is true is we stand behind the 5,000 mile interval, and the vehicles that maybe tend to not be maintained like they should, they go those longer oil change intervals, whether it's intentional or unintentional. Over the years, we've seen where that damage can become very costly. So I think it's an extra oil change a year. If you think about how many miles you drive, maybe it's $50, $75, $100. If it saves you a several $1,000 repair, it's well worth it. So my 2 cents.
I think I've asked you this a long time ago, but you have changed in your illustrious career oil on cars and trucks for many, many times. What's the worst you've seen? What's the longest interval you've seen somebody change or actually not change?
Well, it's happened more than it should, unfortunately. But I think the first time was probably maybe 15 years ago. Some folks had a vehicle that they bought that they'd never changed oil. And I think it was about 26, 27,000 miles when the engine failed. And obviously, it's under warranty. It's not a warranty situation, which was another complicated conversation. Maintaining the vehicle is required to keep the warranty intact. So unfortunately, he thought that she did, and she thought that he did, and no one did. And it went, 2.5 years, and then it just stopped. And at that time, it was, like the first time I think we had a job at many thousands of dollars, $7,000-$8,000, and we were all like afraid to call. But it's so silly that we just how we got all busy lives, which we all do. We all run in circles. Yeah. But take a minute, maintain your vehicle, keep you and your busy life on the road.
What is that? If there's any oil left, what does it look like after all this time? If there's any,
we'll see it come out, and it's almost like the sludge. I mean, you've seen commercials and stuff. You take the drain plug out, and it just like kind of. Like really bad thick milkshake almost. And then the scary part is, how do you combat that? I'm not a big proponent of like putting some chemicals to clean it, because you're going to loosen up a whole lot of stuff and plug up more things. So we just try
to get
on.
What do you do?
Usually tell them we're going to use a high quality synthetic oil. We're going to have you come back every 1,000 miles for the next foreseeable time. Maybe we're going to change it, 4, 5, 6 times over the next several months. And just try to slowly clean it out. And, if it made it that far, obviously the end of its life is probably shortened to some extent. But if we can get that thing back on the road for a couple more years, I think it's a victory.
Yeah, it is. It is the best in the long haul, the cheapest maintenance you can do. Nick, hang on. We're going to take a quick break here, have a look at that forecast, their warm forecast. We have a holiday coming up on Monday. If you have any kind of a car care question, now is your chance. Keep in mind, Nick takes his leave in about 15 minutes, so don't wait. Love to hear from you. 651-461-9226. Any kind of a car care question for Nick at Lloyd's at News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to our car care show. Danny Long here, along with ASC certified technician Nick Stauffel from Lloyd's Automotive. Nick, I forgot to ask you, for those that need the help from Lloyd's, how do we find you guys?
Always, if you do have a question or need some advice before you take it into your shop or dealer, you can call us. We'll help. 651-228-1316. And if you're in St. Paul ever, and this warm weekend or next week, we're at 982 Grand Avenue. Stop and say hi. And if you need more information, you can check our website, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
Very good. We'll get you that info before Nick takes his leave here. In a matter of 8 or 10 minutes or so. Let's grab a phone call this morning. Tim, calling in from Andover, I believe, this morning. Tim, thanks for waiting. What is your question for Nick?
Question is, I bought a used car, and I don't have any maintenance on it. But transmission fluid, can you tell by looking at it if there's a need to change it?
Yeah, if it's discolored, you're going to know that it's due. One thing I would tell someone in a used vehicle you just bought with no maintenance history is have a good once over on it. Maybe figure out what mileage the vehicle is at, go to that interval at the mileage schedule and have all those things checked, inspected. Maybe some of the bigger items, the spark plugs, these fluids that you're referring to. Just get a visual inspection, and kind of give yourself a good starting point so therefore you can continue or start maintaining the vehicle. If the transmission fluid has become quite discolored or if it has a smell to it, like a burnt smell to it, I'd probably recommend servicing that, depending on the type of vehicle. Most commonly now is what we see is a drain infill system. They used to be, like we talked in the past, used to have flushes, and in even some cases, there were some transmissions could remove the pan, replace a filter. A lot of that's changed. So the most common service is a drain and fill that we see these days. But if it needs more attention, there might be some other options.
All right. So I'm looking at a text, Nick, from a listener who said, can tires thump while in motion if they have a flat spot after sitting for a while? I haven't thought about that in years. Does that still happen?
Not as much as it used to. I think the tires are better than they used to be. But, yeah, sometimes you get a flat spot, or if somebody skidded or slid off the road, you can get a little flat spot there. So if you're having that thumping type sensation, have somebody look at that. That's a warning telling you something's not right. And then they can look at the tires, determine if it's something that maybe they can rotate or do something, rebalance them to try to help combat that, or make sure you don't have anything more serious going on that could leave you stranded somewhere.
Here's one. It's a good question. It's one we get from time to time. If you are an older person, texter says, how often to change oil? Somebody who doesn't drive many miles at all. I think it's a good question, but still the change, even if it's not driven at all, needs to happen, doesn't it?
Yeah, the heating and cooling, the moisture's going to get into the oil. It'll absorb into the oil, which can make some other sludging type problems. I think the vehicle should be looked at twice a year, spring and fall. Let's make sure that there's no issues coming out of the winter months, going through those potholes, make sure everything's tight and clean and, properly working. Inspect the oil, make a recommendation, based on the miles driven, the condition of the oil. Same thing in the fall before we drive into those winter months. We want to make sure we have good tires and brakes and all those things again. So I think a vehicle needs to be looked at twice a year. Depending on the condition of the oil, I would say at least once a year. That too might be twice a year as a standard process and procedure.
Like we've always said, you guys have always said, the cars are meant to be driven. If they sit, what else can happen? I mean, I was thinking about a home improvement show we did many years ago with an appliance repair guy. And we got a call in, from a senior couple who said, we use our dishwasher maybe once a year. Well, what happened was, in that case, is a lot of the seals, everything dried up.
Yeah, I think that can be similar with a vehicle. Like you said, they're meant to be driven, and we don't want, it's a nice weekend. This is a good weekend to go out and take the long way somewhere. I know a lot of folks live in their community, or close to work, close to school, the grocery store, everything they need is really close knit for them. So they don't need a lot of driving, but the car still needs enough driving to get it fully warmed up, get it on the highway, exercise those brakes, let that exhaust burn all that condensation, all that moisture out. When you see a car freshly started, you'll see how there's a big steam cloud come out the tailpipe, and after, once it's fully warmed up, that's gone. Well, that's because all that moisture is burnt off. So we want to try to do that to keep that exhaust from rusting away, and same with the brakes. We want to get on the highway and heat those up, keep those brake rotors good and clean. Same for the tires. So, it's not that you need to, on the bad weather day, put yourself in harm's way, but on a nice day, if you need to take some, I always say take the long way to the store. Go out of your way just a little bit to give the car a chance to warm up and kind of stretch out a little bit.
Yeah. Looking at a text here, I guess we have time. I just bought new tires. Texter says checked at four places, and they were evenly split about doing a tire alignment. What are your thoughts? Texter wants to know.
It's good maintenance. We will recommend for replacing tires and they are worn abnormally, we want to get a figure out why. Because the last thing you want to do is install brand new tires and have them become prematurely worn. So let's figure out what component or something maybe just needs adjustment. So it's not necessarily worst case scenario, but when tires have gotten so costly, you don't want to waste your money to have something prematurely wear out and still have to perform whatever alignment repair that was needed. So if the tires look like they're worn fine, they haven't worn abnormally and they got a good life out of them, maybe it's not necessary. But, the more questions are had, like have you hit any large potholes or had any situations where, you had a pause, right? Well, those situations make us think maybe we should measure the alignment specifications, see what they're at, and maybe make those adjustments. So it's not a have-to-do thing, but it's pretty cheap insurance to protect your investment in a new set of tires.
Once in a while, as you know, Nick, we talk about changing wiper blades, but a listener wants to know, how often do you change your wiper blades? I think you probably have access, maybe more than we do. But how often do you change on your personal vehicle or any vehicle?
It's about once a year. And it's funny, like if your wipers are a couple years old, I always joke with people, we'll replace the passenger side one for free, and you have to double for the driver side one when you come back, because you don't. It's one of those things that slowly deteriorates. You don't realize it. You know, at nighttime, as we get older, if it's raining or snowing, and having a clear windshield is priceless. You know, you can't to spend those extra few dollars to get a set of wiper blades every year, maybe every, it really depends on your driving. You know, I'm around everywhere all the time now, but mine were starting to streak, and I said, you know what, I should follow my own advice. I got a pair of wiper blades, and I was like, geez, I should have done this sooner.
Now, we talked about this. Is it, again, you get what you pay for? Because I've put on different wiper blades. Some of them are pretty expensive.
They are, and the options, the parts of the aisle, there's like, you know, a dozen different versions and options, and you have to be very careful, because another reason, I don't know why, but every manufacturer within a manufacturer has a different clip or a different way to attach them.
Yes.
So you have to be very careful to make sure you get the correct one. And I don't know how many wiper, we probably have 30 different wiper blades at the shop.
No kidding.
Which seems so silly, because there's only six lengths. You know, when I started, there was two wiper blades. I think it was a 14 and a 16 inch wiper blade, and they fit everything. Well, now, you know, they're as long as 28 inches and as short as 12 inches, and everything, every different attachment in between. So I'd like to say we want to use the ones that have the exact fit, meaning there's not a big clunky piece of an additional piece of plastic to adapt it to make it work. I'd like to try to get the ones that were designed for that wiper arm and for that vehicle. So it's a good, easy attachment, secure attachment. Therefore, you know, you can have confidence that they're going to work.
Yeah, absolutely. Finally, I think we have time for one more text. In storing a car, should you use Stable? Tell us what that is, and should you use it?
Depending on how long you're storing the vehicle. I use it up north on our little riding lawnmower and our ATVs and stuff. You know, it's just a little, it kind of keeps the fuel from breaking down. Once again, it's probably a chemist that can describe it better to us. But it does work. It keeps the gasoline from becoming tarnished. It's not a forever thing, but, you know, I'll put a little bit in the fuel. The last time they ride them in the fall, and therefore when it comes springtime, it definitely makes it a lot easier to start them up. So I think if you're storing the vehicle for an excessive period of time, it doesn't hurt. You know, kind of keep that fuel working, right?
Keeps it from being kind of like shellac or something, I think. Something like that. Anyway, Nick, we're just about out of time, and let's tell our listeners if they need some help from Lloyd's. How do we connect with you guys?
Absolutely. You can always call us, 651-228-1316. And as always, if you're in St. Paul, we're there Monday to Friday, 7 to 6. Stop and say hi. We're on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth, which is 982 Grand. And if you're looking for more information.
Oh, I think we just lost Nick. Well, in the meantime, coming up at in just a minute or two, Ted Farrell's Wine Chat. And then in the 8 o'clock hour, Julie Weisenhorn will be with us. Julie, of course, from the U of M, and we're going to be talking lawns and gardens on a Smart Garden Show. So stay with us. News Talk 830. This is WCCO.